From our family to your family, this is A Legacy of Faith, the podcast.
Welcome to A Legacy of Faith, the podcast designed to help your family survive the day, plan for tomorrow, and always keep an eye on eternity. We're glad that you have joined us for episode number 106 of the program. And Lee, it's good to be back with you.
Thank you.
It's been a couple of weeks since we've done one of these. We mentioned the last time that we're in the process of moving, but also just have had a weird, busy, crazy schedule. And so we didn't make any promises about when the next program would be, but we did it in 3 weeks. That's not too bad. And as we're recording, we're just a couple of days from finishing up here in Haleyville and heading to Paducah next week as we're recording this. But it's been a crazy last few weeks.
It's busy. We would have had a busy summer anyway, but then you throw a move on top of it. So, yeah.
It's been something. Yes. But things are going fairly smoothly. I guess it's kind of, no move goes perfectly, but it's going about as smoothly
so far,
as it can.
So good.
Yep. And So we enjoyed our time with the skeletons, didn't we?
Well, you did. You enjoyed seeing the skeletons. We
on our last program
changed slightly.
Yeah, last program we were all going to go to Cleveland, Tennessee together, and some of the skeleton kids got sick, and then
Hannah Kate was in the hospital until Monday,
and so we decided just for me to go and hang out in Cleveland for.
We were exhausted and tired and thought, and you are too, and we thought maybe this would be better all the way around if you just go yourself and rest and read and study a little bit during the day, and it turned out okay.
Yeah, and their vacation Bible school was really good at Eastside.
It looked like it was really good.
It really was. I told several people that it was really good, but the main reason it was really good was, they actually, taught the Bible. What a concept.
I know.
What a concept for vacation Bible school.
You can get too far out there and what kids, have they really learned anything about the Bible?
Yeah, we can have all the decorations and carnivals. And we had a carnival tonight. What was your story about? Naaman. Yeah, because, he rode a Ferris wheel.
Yeah. I know.
I don't think they let the lepers on the Ferris wheels.
Yeah.
That's the way that worked. And then we've had our gospel meeting with John D. Berry. That went okay.
Yeah, he'll do.
I have heard from our folks and people online that listen to our folks here at 9th Avenue just constantly just, basically just told me to go ahead and move. They don't want to hear me preach again. Just,
it's always a pleasure to listen to him preach, I think.
Yeah, he
just fires you up.
It does. You would hope that anybody who preaches the gospel believes what they're saying, obviously. You don't have to guess with John.
Right. That's why I like it.
It comes across with just total conviction.
Right.
And I appreciate that a great deal. And it's not just the style. You can just see it, that he just, he just is totally convicted in what he's saying. And he has some funny lines every once in a while, and that's cool too. But we really enjoy being around him. And that was just a great, great week. And we want to, this podcast, we usually sometimes say, it's not going to be as long. We can pretty much guarantee this one's not going to be as long because we're beat, but we didn't want to.
Possible we might fall asleep.
Yeah, we honestly do not know when the next program is going to come out, but we wanted to make sure we get one out because we had a kind of window of time here to record one, and so we wanted to do that. But you recently shared an article that our brother and friend Neil Pollard wrote some time ago, a couple of weeks ago, I guess. I forgot to look at the date on this, June 11th, so it's a couple of weeks old. But the name of the article is, What Are We Saying About the Church? And this is something that you and I have kind of talked about anyway. And then when he wrote the article, it kind of was one of those things we kind of stuck in the file and said, we want to do a podcast about this, not just to reiterate what he writes. But then John D. Berry actually mentioned this in one of his lessons during our gospel meetings. So we were like, we have got to sit down and talk about this. The whole point of the article, the whole point is of what Brother D. Berry said in his lesson and what you and I want to talk about tonight is when we are around our children, driving home from church or eating lunch on Sunday afternoon or any other time for that matter, what are they hearing us say about the church? So often, all they hear us say is negative stuff. And we could make a list a mile long, but the preacher went too long, people here never say that, I know, but, you know, the song leader was boring, you know, singing was slow, the elders made a dumb decision, you know, I can't believe this person wore that dress, I can't believe this person, you know, and it is okay at times to talk about how there's improvements that need to be made, but if that's all our kids ever hear us talk about when it has to do with the church, why are they supposed to love the church?
Right.
And so we're going to just kind of run with that for the next few minutes. You know, let me ask you this firstly, and I'm going to throw a couple questions at you that we both can talk about for a minute, but let me just ask this question. Why, even though you and I love the church, hopefully anybody who listens to a program like this loves the church, why sometimes can we be tempted, even around our children, to only talk about, and I hate to use the word the negative, that's really what it is, but just the stuff we don't like, the stuff that frustrates us, you know, why is that such a temptation, even around our children, to just seemingly always, or at least more often, go down that road?
Well, I would say there's probably two ways you can go with this. And one is giving people the benefit of the doubt that they genuinely are concerned and maybe not being very wise about it in front of their children, not considering that those children are developing their impression of the church even as you speak. And so that maybe they really are concerned about some things, or they're really bothered, and maybe rightfully so, that there's some things going on that's you know, needs addressing, or that they wish would be addressed or something. But then, you know, on the other side of that sometimes we just have that negative spirit that we just want to pick at people because it makes us feel like, well, we have it right. But let me tell you, those people over there, those elders or that preacher, you know, doesn't know what that means. And he's being really harsh in judgment, you know, whatever. And just it makes you feel better about yourself. So there's, to me, two different reasons why that might be happening.
And I think you're right. And I think, too, what you said there is it's easy for, if you're the one, if you're the parent, we're speaking here specifically to parents, but if you're the parent who is being negatively critical, then you're going to give yourself the benefit of the doubt and say you're only doing it because you want the church to be better.
Right.
When sometimes, if we're not careful, it is the other.
Mm-hmm.
That I really just don't like this person, or I really just don't like this decision. Mm-hmm. And we're not talking here about doctrinal things. You know, that's a totally different matter. If a church makes a decision to change scripture, or to go against scripture, I should say, you know, that's not what we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's just, you know, preference or something the elders decide that you think is unwise, or, you know, just something that's in the realm of opinion, and we disagree with it, we like to think, well, we're only saying this, we want things to go well. But sometimes it's because, this gives me an excuse to pick at people. And I think our kids pick up on that.
I don't think they pick up if you're just talking and you're not doing anything. I mean, it'd be different if they were hearing a conversation that went more like, we have a problem with that because the Bible says that we ought to do this. We think we ought to speak to whoever about this. And that's a different kind of conversation than just all being just
all the
talking.
Songs, all the songs are just slow this
right.
morning. Nobody down there knows how to worship.
And I would say, even if you're doing it in the right way, you have to be smart about it. Depending on the age of your children, just don't say anything about it in front of them, because they can misunderstand so much. Even the children, our children's ages,
which right now are 11 and 12,
yeah, they may not still get something. You know,
right.
They may misunderstand what it is. And so you would have to be really careful. And this has been a real struggle to me. It's, you know, I grew up and I heard, and what you said about, Brother John D. Berry saying, and we've heard that saying all the time about, you know, kids, some kids grow up and they go home and have fried preachers for...
Broiled elders and fried preachers and fricasseed deacons, I think is what they put it.
And so, you know, you hear that and you're like, yes, that would not be good to do that in front of your children. And I remember, you know, before I had children, when our children were really small, you know, that is so dangerous. But as they get older... And you get older yourself. I know we have failed sometimes by just saying things that we just need to button our lip up and just wait until we're in a private. But I think that's part. sometimes that's part of the problem, is that as the kids get older, your family life gets crazier and get busier. They're not going down for naps and early bedtimes anymore. And sometimes you just lose your,
You're so used to not having privacy that you just
lose your, cool about it. And just, you let your guard down too much is what I was trying to say. I don't know how you lose that or anything, but you let your guard down too much and you just start talking about things that, because when else are we going to talk about it? And I know we've made that mistake, or we've been just to that, maybe that upset about something that we've said some things that we should have just waited on until we were together privately, and then we could have talked about it. I don't know. I mean, there's probably a balance to be found there somewhere.
Nearly anybody who would listen to a podcast like this, especially with a title, we're thinking about, how do you speak about the church and, with your kids, knows what I'm getting ready to say. But I still think it's worth saying that when we talk about, in a negatively critical way, the human or maybe the physical side of the church, what we may not realize is in their mind, we're actually running down the divine side of the church, because mm-hmm. they can't understand that right. yet, especially when they're really young. It's just, mm-hmm. and we know the terminology, but we just go to church. When they're 4 years old, that's all they know is we're going to church, we're going to Bible class, but they hear us talk about, we love church, but then we run down people at church or decisions at mm-hmm. church, and they're not mature enough yet to think through, to reason through that, while it is the church that we're running down in their mind, just the overall mm-hmm. picture of it, which includes the divine side of the church. And that's a scary road to go down,
mm-hmm.
Because then you're running down God. I mean, you're running down Christ, who's the head of the church. Colossians talks about that, him being the head of the church. And that's a very scary thing to think about, that by just constantly bickering against whoever, elders or song leaders or whatever, we could be tearing down our children's view of the Lord Jesus. Once they start to piece some of these things together in their mind, you've distorted, or maybe a better word, warped almost, how those pieces fit together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really serious.
And also, I think you can do one of two things. You can have them so frustrated with the church and have them looking at it in such a negative way, they just don't have anything to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe even worse is that they feel like they just can't live up to that standard that their parents have set out. I mean, who's going to, if we find ourselves always criticizing others and never addressing, they're either going to lose a lot of respect for you because they'll start to see, look, they're not perfect either, but they're always talking to everybody else,
Or the church isn't that bad.
Yeah. And so they'll decide, if they don't go down that road, that I can't ever live up to that standard of church, mm-hmm. whatever, and they won't. They just won't do it.
They won't try.
They'll think, this is not for me. I'm not good enough. And it is dangerous waters. And it's really one of those things that it's a selfish thing to do when you're parenting. It's like so many other things that you have to look out for your children first in this matter. It's easy sometimes to want to vent and get it out, especially in a private conversation. But like I said earlier, when those private conversations turn into little ears that are getting older and older, they are paying attention more and more,
mm-hmm.
then you've really got to.
And the older they get,
figure it out. I mean, it's important to figure it out, like how you're going to address certain things as they get older.
Well, and the older they get, the more perceptive they become, not just what you say, but how you're saying it. Mm-hmm. The tone, the facial expressions, they're learning the full range of communication. So, mm-hmm. Not just what you say, but how you say it, rubs off on their perception. So we said this is going to be a little bit shorter. Let's turn this now to some positive. We've laid down the problem. I hope people understand, the issue, the problem. Let's lay down just some solutions. We could just say, never never say anything negative. I don't think that's the case.
Because sometimes you need to talk and train your kids that way.
Let me give this one solution for sure. Remember the difference between doctrine and opinion.
Right.
I think that is a massive one. If a congregation, an eldership, or a preacher preaches something, you know, an eldership makes a decision, or the preacher preaches something that's against Scripture, it's not that you just, you know, blast the elders or blast the preacher, but you talk about a teachable moment. That is a time to be negatively critical, but still do it in a loving way. You know, you'll preach the truth in love kind of concept. But there is a way to talk about how, okay, the preacher preached on this. You know, he said baptism's not essential for salvation. You know, maybe he didn't say those exact words, but there was no other way to hear it than that's what he said. Well, okay, kids, it's not that your mom and I disagree with that, what he said. It's that he disagreed with Scripture, and that's where we're going to go. Let's read those verses together. Let's look at what Acts 2:38 says, and Mark 16:16, and, you know, hopefully most of our listeners could name 15 others that talk about baptism. That's kind of an extreme example. But if it's just, you know, they decide to hire this guy to be the next preacher, or they're going to add a, you know, ladies class to the Bible school or whatever, I may agree or disagree with that, but in the end, does it really matter? Nope.
And that's still another teachable moment, because you can talk about that. And even if you disagree and think it might be an unwise decision, mm-hmm. you know, like you say, especially when you're not dealing with a scriptural matter, but then, you know, mom and dad, we think this might be not very wise that the elders chose to do this, but then use that as a teachable moment mm-hmm. to talk about the submission to the elders mm-hmm. and the elders' authority and how God put them over, and that, you know, we can pray for the elders that they will always use wisdom in certain things. And then, I mean, you have to be humble enough to say, you know, but we think that's not the way we would have wanted that to go. But I mean, here's a dose of humility. You know, we could be wrong. You know, right. God placed those men in authority for a reason. And we need to maybe not be so arrogant to think that we always have the right idea.
There's the biblical side of that. You know, God placed them in authority. And there's just teaching your kids the practical side of that. You know, in most cases, not every case, but in most cases, at least some, if not all, the elders have been there longer than you have.
Right.
There are 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 or 12 of them, and there's one of you. So they've had the, you know, collective thoughts of that group to make this decision, you know, and time and things. And you may not have known anything was even being discussed until an announcement is made, where they've spent countless hours discussing and praying and thinking and studying. And, okay, I think it's unwise, but these men who have spent who knows how long thinking about it think it's wise, I can go along with that for a little while, at least, you know, see what happens.
And, you know, I grew up, my dad was an elder mm-hmm. for as long as I can remember.
About 30 years or more.
And you know, and you're in a position to maybe have more of an insider information sometimes, not all the time, but just sometimes you might know about something. And we can both say that it is pretty certain that your average church member doesn't know all the situation no. that an eldership is having to listen to and make, and they don't know, like you say, the time and prayer that they've spent over a decision, or the reasoning, something that they've seen in the past. You know, there's so many layers to that it's really not good for, you know, you to get bent out of shape over some matters of opinion that right. you just don't, you know, maybe, and they could be wrong. They're imperfect mm-hmm. men themselves, but is it really worth damaging and sacrificing your kid's soul and painting a bad picture of the church because, you know, you just didn't agree that they didn't need to spend that much money on a building, or you didn't agree that
they needed to hire a second minister.
A youth minister, you know, whatever, and just keep on and on and on about it. Right. I mean, that, you know, what's worth, is it worth more for you to be right or for your children to
mm-hmm.
have a good standing with the church?
So I think that's one huge one, is remember the difference in doctrine and opinion. Yeah, and be very clear about that. So let's take that a step further and make sure now we understand we're talking now about just opinion matters. Let's set doctrinal yes. matters to the side. Let's talk about opinion matters. I think a second thing is give people the benefit of a doubt.
Right.
You know, I've been teaching the Romans on Sunday mornings, and we spent some time on this last week in chapters, 13, 14, along in there, where basically that's what Paul was saying, the Jew-Gentile issue, you know, with meats and, you know, special days and all that kind of stuff. You kind of look at those chapters, and basically it boils down to give them the benefit of the doubt. you know, this is not, and even the English Standard Version even uses, we're talking about opinions here, don't quarrel with opinions. And that's basically his whole point, is they're doing this because they think it's what's best. You're doing what you're doing because you think it's what's best. It's not doctrinal, so get over it.
Right.
You know, just move on. You know, you got a song leader who leads singing a little bit slowly. Okay. He's leading singing.
Mm-hmm.
Give him the benefit of the doubt. He's doing the best he can. You don't know that Saturday night he didn't spend 3 hours practicing just to be able to lead as well as he did. We don't know that.
And you don't know that it's always better to lead singing, you know, not slow sometimes.
Right.
Some people really think that's better. You know, they really believe that that's better.
Right. And so, you know, let's put this kind of in your wheelhouse for a second. You know, a congregation decides to change, you know, fifth and sixth grade curriculum for their Bible school program, you know, and this curriculum has been used for 35 years. Now they're switching. And it's, you know, it's doctrinal material. Everything's fine about it, but, you know, maybe this just looks better or has better visuals or something. It'd be real easy to just hammer away at somebody for just changing something instead of saying, you know what? I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. They're still teaching our kids the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's an expense. And yeah, it's going to mean a lot of work for some people for X number of years, getting it set, you know, or months, getting it set in place. But why not just give people the benefit of the doubt?
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard sometimes because you want to make a snap judgment, but that's where it has to be. Third suggestion is the most obvious one. Remember, the little kids are listening.
Right.
It is okay for, I think, a husband and wife sometimes just to vent to each other. You know, sometimes, it's at some point, even in matters of opinion, at some point you do need to vent a little bit. You're frustrated with something, but
that's part of the support you give one another.
Right.
You know, say it to each other and not to
right.
your girlfriends out there or your guy friends mm-hmm. or whatever.
But you're sitting around the lunch table on Sunday afternoon, all you're talking about is, you know, how terrible the sermon was, or, you know, or I can't believe he led that song for the seventh week in a row. Little ears are listening, and they're drawing an opinion about what mommy and daddy think about the church.
Mm-hmm.
And they think the church is just, you know,
bad.
A messed up,
right.
you know, unorganized, we could do it better, you know,
mm-hmm.
kind of place. The church was bought with Jesus' blood. And yeah, on the human side of things, we're going to screw some stuff up every once in a while. But little kids need to draw an impression that, you know, even if things don't go our way, the church is still stinking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That may be kind of a crude way of putting it, but, you know, the church is still the greatest thing ever. And we've got to remember those little ears are listening to what mm-hmm. we say.
Right.
So, I don't know if we've solved anything, Leah, but we talked through some stuff.
I think it's been helpful. I think every family can use just a little bit of, 'cause we all go through the same thing with this. I think, you know, it's something you really have to really think about and guard against. And that would be true for any family. And it's just, it's really important. And I remember that article thinking, yep, this is something that I know we can work on and do better at. And I know that most families probably could say the same thing.
Because you do get frustrated.
You do.
I mean in the matters of opinion, you're dealing with people.
Right.
And people
you
are
have
frustrating
your opinion,
sometimes.
And, you know, and sometimes it is, sometimes you're right, and you know that something should have been, you know, but then there again, sometimes, you know, you could just be being inconsiderate yourself. You could just be wrong, too, and, you know, and no one wants to ever admit that. We have our own opinion. We've built it up. We've babied it forever, and we don't want to ever admit that maybe there's a different way of doing something besides the way I wanted it to be done, and so I think most families struggle with this.
So
I really do.
We just wanted to take this program and just encourage families to, you know, to deal with these issues. They're very real. We are going to get frustrated with some stuff. But when we're around our kids, we need to be building up the church.
Mm-hmm.
We need to, you know, and even if we're frustrated, even if there's something we disagree with, there's a way to talk through those things, even with small children or, you know, children the age ours are or whoever, in a way that just lets them see that, you know, we may not agree with everything, again, not doctrinal, we may not agree with everything, but we still love the church, we still love the people, and everything's going to be okay eventually.
And here's an idea, and it's a lesson for us all, especially me. look for the good things. They're there. I mean, the church, the people there, that there are people loving and serving the Lord. And you will, if you would spend your time and your energy, even if you are in a congregation that maybe is going through some issues and problems, and maybe you are down about it, but spend some more time thinking on the good things, doing what you can do to improve, and teaching and training your kids, you know, why we're doing this, because we want our church to grow and we want to have more peace and unity in our congregation. That's what Jesus would want, and it's what he prayed for, and just make it a learning experience for all, you know, your whole family. And there are good things, and good, I would say that it would be rare. And it is a shame when it does happen, but for a family to be in a place where they really don't think that there's that much good, and, you know, some places really do struggle, and, you know, I mean, we all know that, but then their most congregations are going to have those good things that you can focus on and dwell on and build on. So focus on that with your kids.
Right. And, you know, go back to one more example. You got Brother So-and-so that leads singing super slow. You got Brother So-and-so who's one lead singing.
That's right.
And you tell your kids, hey, Bob's up there leading. And he's leading songs that teaches the truth. So,
and you can say something good about that. You can say, you know, when a song is led slower, you have time to think about the words. And it's,
and you sometimes can, you have time to really think about
the
words.
Yeah, and you can, but see, there you go. But see, you can listen and you can contemplate maybe. But then, if a song leader leads fast songs, I don't know who I'm talking to here. I'm looking at him in the face, though. But if he leads,
is Turner in this room?
If he leads fast, and some people do complain about that, they have before, and
I don't know what you're talking.
Yeah, but you know, if you're on the other side of that, then you know you can say something good about that too. But because it helps people feel in a good mood for worship, you know, it gets them ready to, you know, gets them awake, and you can say something good about that too.
Mm-hmm.
So practice doing that with your kids so that you're looking for the good and what the worship is. And I think, you know, it's a discipline we all need to work on.
It is. So we hope this has encouraged families. Hope you love the church, and hope you are teaching your kids to love the church and to deal with those times when things may be frustrating or difficult, in a positive way, like Leah said, looking for the good, but, you know, dealing with the things that are frustrating in a way that just encourages, you know, good thoughts and encouraging thoughts. So we hope that you'll visit the show notes for this episode. You can find the link there to Brother Neil Poward's article that we've kind of used as sort of the thought starter for this. We didn't really reference it much, but just kind of the thought starter for this episode. The show notes can be found at fawnfamily.com/POD106. fawnfamily.com/POD106. We will do our best to record another podcast in, let's just say, Leah, 2 or 3 weeks, somewhere in that range, with moving. We are just simply going to do the very best we can. That's all.
Recording in Kentucky.
Yeah, that's right. We will. All we can say is we'll do the very best we can to have another program as quickly as possible on our usual, or as close to, I should say, our usual schedule. Leah, I love you.
Love you.
And look forward back with all of our listeners in a couple or three or four-ish weeks. And until then, remember, your family can go to heaven. Just make sure you go there together.